Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is Minnesota Democrat Tina Smith, who joins us to discuss the Farm Bill and the looming government funding deadline. But first, here's this week's headlines. Farmers are not as optimistic about the economy as they were last month. In the latest version of the Ag Economy Barometer from Purdue University and the CME Group, farmers pointed to higher prices for farm machinery and new construction as major reasons for their concern. Those worries were also paired with an expectation for even higher interest rates. 60% of the producers surveyed say they expect the rates to continue rising over the next year. The Biden administration took a key step to possibly allow its new Waters of the U.S. rule to be enforced nationwide. Recent legal filings informed several courts of the new rule, a necessary development to lift injunctions in 27 states. The agency rolled out a new WOTUS definition last week to comply with the Sackett v. EPA Supreme Court decision. The cases were put on hold while the administration was working on the new regulation. And finally, the Senate returned to town with two big farm policy items on its to-do list, the Farm Bill and government funding. Congress must pass something to keep the government funded or face a shutdown beginning October 1st, which is the start of the 2024 fiscal year. For the Farm Bill, many programs expire at the end of September, but many also include longer-term authorization, so the issue is not expected to be resolved this month. But House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson has stated a desire to introduce his version of the bill in September. So, what about the Senate? We asked Senate Ag Committee Democrat Tina Smith of Minnesota when she's expecting to sit down with her colleagues and mark up a new farm bill.
We need a strong bipartisan farm bill, and we need to get it done this year. I know that Chair Stabenow and Ranking Member Bozeman and many of us have been working hard on a lot of the details of that bill. I think they've made really good headway. There are some things that they are caught up on, particularly in the commodity title. What I hope is that we'll have a bipartisan markup in October and that we'll be able to finish this bill in good time by the end of the year. We can't think about going into 2024 without a bill done. It's too important to too many parts of the rural economy and to the farm and ranch economy and really to the whole country to not get it done. Mm-hmm.
If you'll indulge me in a bit of a cynical hypothetical, then, you know, you mentioned you don't really want to go into 2024, but if, you know, by laws of nature and congressional schedules that ends up taking place, how long can you realistically go into next year before the farm bill starts to get bogged down in things like election year politics?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't even really thought about that because I think we're so determined to get it done this year. I think that it does become just such a bog down if we don't complete it. And I think that that is good motivation for all of us to get it done. And I'm really grateful that Chair Stabenow has been, as we've been working on the Senate version of the bill, that we are she's also been staying in touch with the House colleagues to make sure that we have something in the Senate bill. I should put it this way, that there's nothing in the Senate bill that would just be a disaster for earning House support. How this all comes together at the end of the year, of course, it's, you know, yet to be determined. But here's a note of optimism, at least on the Senate side. Next week, we are going to be starting the process for voting on the big budget bills in the Senate. For the first time in years, we're actually voting on each of these appropriations bills way ahead of time. So I think that shows that there's good bipartisan interest in getting these important bills done. And Farm Bill is, I mean, other than appropriations, it's the bill that the Senate has to pass this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to talk about the appropriations bills, but a little bit more on the Farm Bill before we go toward that. I understand it's going to be a major priority for you to look to this next Farm Bill and find ways to expand opportunity for those who maybe want to get into production agriculture, but might lack the inherited assets or the family lands to do so. How can this bill, how can a Farm Bill generally go about enacting that kind of change?
Many farmers in Minnesota and around the country are nearing retirement age. I think the average age is, you know, 56, 60, 62, somewhere in there. So we are in the midst of this big, giant transition. And at the same time, we have a lot of small and medium-sized farmers that are really struggling. I think nearly half of farmers are actually not making money right now in agriculture. So we need to be able to look at how we can support those farmers. The number one thing I think is to make sure that our core farm programs, especially crop insurance, work for small and beginning farmers. We also need to look at additional revenue streams for small and beginning farmers. And that's why I think some of the work that we're doing around energy and clean energy can be another revenue source for small farmers. And of course, the biggest issue for small farmers, as you indicate, is getting access to capital and land so that they can get their farm set up if they don't have an intergenerational transfer going. And so we're looking at ways that we can accomplish that as well. But I'm going to be honest, that's the hardest part.
We'll have more from Senator Smith right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
At Clean Fuels Alliance America, we're working toward a future of clean energy now that will make our members proud. We serve as the clean fuels industry's primary organization for technical, environmental, and quality assurance programs, and are the strongest voice for its advocacy, communications, and market development. With industry-leading programs and incentives, Clean Fuels Alliance America is actively moving the clean fuels industry forward toward a brighter future.
Welcome back. Senator Tina Smith says she expects the government funding process to start unfolding on the Senate floor soon.
Well, what I think will happen is that over the next 2 weeks, we will process and vote on these three appropriations bills, which, by the way, passed out of the committee with broad bipartisan support. Some of them passed with unanimous support, which is kind of unheard of in the Senate. Then we're going to get to the end of September. And at that point, I expect that we're going to need a continuing resolution in order to be able to keep the government open while we finish the bills that we have to pass in order to get the entire budget passed. It's a little difficult to know exactly how that plays out between the Senate and the House. I think that the Senate will probably send over to the House a continuing resolution, and it will be on them to be able to say, okay, let's move this forward. Let's get our work done, and let's fund the government so that people aren't hurt by a shutdown. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the debt ceiling deal earlier this year included a provision that enacts a 1% cut if Congress does not move 12 individual appropriations bills this year and instead sends an omnibus spending package, which has been the operation of Capitol Hill for quite a while now. How concerned are you about the prospects of that 1% cut absent the action on the individual bills?
Well, the president and Leader McCarthy came to an agreement about getting the budget bills done, and they set budget caps that we all need to live within. And there's a real penalty if we don't get that done. And that was designed by them on purpose to really provide incentive for both houses of Congress to get the bills done. It's very disturbing, I have to say, to see that the House is already moving away from that agreement with the president and is setting much lower caps. And how that all gets resolved, I think, is going to be the hard work of the next couple of months. But here in the Senate, both Republicans and Democrats are very committed to getting it done. And the penalty of those budget cuts in 2024 would be a lot of incentive to not go over that cliff.
I want to wrap up here, getting maybe a little bit wonky, if we could. We did see earlier this week the chair and ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee sent a letter over to USDA encouraging Secretary Vilsack to maybe use the Commodity Credit Corporation to do some things in terms of trade promotion funding, given that's been such a huge farm bill priority, and maybe signaling whether or not they can do that in the farm bill. But setting that to the side for the second, we do see over in the House potentially some restrictions on CCC spending being entertained, a very different approach being taken through the Senate appropriations process. I mean, what's your thoughts on how this could ultimately play out with such a difference of opinion where one chamber is looking to restrict CCC authority, the other is perhaps advising the secretary on some more creative ways to use it throughout this government funding process?
So it's really telling, right, that we have a bipartisan letter to the secretary urging him to use his flexibility with the CCC to make important, to take important action around international food aid, which is going to be very important to American commodity producers. And that, I think, really shows that we here in the Senate appreciate the value of that flexibility. And we've seen it, administrations from both parties use that flexibility to support American agriculture. I think it's extremely important to protect that. And I was really glad to see that letter from Senator Bozeman and Senator Sabinow. And I would just note that when I hear from the commodity producers in Minnesota, corn and soybeans especially, what they tell me is that they care less about, of course, if you offer them an increase in reference price for commodity, for the commodities, they would be happy with that. But what is most important to them is protecting strong crop insurance and putting more resources into international trade support, because that is how they grow markets and how they improve their margins through market structures that are going to be better, much better for them in the long run.
Senator Smith, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Hannah Pegel walks us through the latest farm income figures in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
USDA's most recent farm income forecast projects this year's farm profits will be lower than last year's record highs. This chart shows net farm income and net cash farm income, adjusted for inflation, from 2003 to the forecasted totals for 2023. Net cash farm income is the green line. It's a measure of farmers' cash flow and includes cash receipts from farming, plus government payments, minus farm expenses. It's projected at just under $149 billion in 2023, a decrease of more than $60 billion. Net farm income is the blue line. It's a broader measure of profits that includes depreciation and accounts for changes in farm inventories. It's forecast at just over $141 billion in 2023, which would represent a drop of $48 billion. According to the report, one of the main reasons for the decline is lower crop and livestock returns. Other factors are also in play, including shrinking direct government payments and higher production expenses. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales. You're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. We're going to have a panel discussion now on the Farm Bill and government funding questions facing Capitol Hill here in this month of September. Joined for that conversation by Randy Russell of the Russell Group and Jonathan Kappas with the University of Illinois. Appreciate both of you taking the time to join us. And Randy, I want to go to you first, because earlier in this year, at the beginning of 2023, we heard Ag Committee leaders in both chambers talk about the importance of passing a new Farm Bill by the end of September 2023. Here we sit, and I think it's safe to say that's not going to happen, given where both chambers are in that process. In your mind, what has been the holdup here these last 8 or 9 months?
Well, first, it was the debt ceiling and trying to deal with that. We got that behind us, but now we're facing a situation come September 30th where the government needs to be funded. And there is going to be, I think, a hell of a debate over what that looks like and how far we may extend funding for the government. The Senate wants to move towards a funding the government until December. The House is focused more on 4 weeks or somewhere in that neighborhood. And Spencer, we're just going to have to see how this plays out. But there is not going to be any Farm Bill action until we figure out how the government is going to get funded for the rest of the year.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the farm bill then. You know, as we have heard Chairman Thompson say, he'd like to potentially introduce something here in the month of September. But if and when that does take place, how do Chairman Thompson and other Republican leaders in the committee go about securing the support for that bill and avoiding a floor defeat as we've seen in, you know, the 2013 and 2018 of the farm bill?
I think a lot of it is going to be, and I think we all have to be prepared. Once they report a bill out of the House Agriculture Committee, I would expect we're going to have what we call an open rule, meaning anybody that wants to offer an amendment that is, pertains to the bill will be able to offer it. And we're going to have to open debate. We're going to have a lot of floor votes, and we're going to have to do a lot of hard work to protect the committee bill that does come out. But I think having an open process where any member can offer up amendments that are really part of the farm bill is going to be critical to building success for getting a farm bill through the House and placating those in the Freedom Caucus that would object to having a more closed debate.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, let's talk about some of the numbers that that are going to be involved here in this farm bill process. We've seen USDA recently come out with farm income projections that show them to be quite a bit down here in 2023, their current forecast is. And granted, that's down from record levels in 2022, but down nonetheless. And I wonder, how do you expect that drop in 23 figures to impact discussion around the upcoming farm bill?
I think it's a big and tough question because we have seen them come down, but as you mentioned, they're off from record levels. And we've seen this kind of challenge before, particularly around the 2012, 2013, and 2014 effort in which we were seeing record prices, strong revenues again. So I think it complicates the sort of, the quest for more funding. And frankly, and to be blunt, it complicates this whole concept of raising reference prices and trying to increase the outlays in Title I.
We'll have more from our panel right after this.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back. A provision in this summer's debt ceiling deal includes a 1% spending cut if Congress is unable to pass individual appropriations bills this year. But Jonathan Kappas says what that might look like is full of unknowns.
I'm not exactly sure how they implement something like that. We've seen the sequestration issues before and actually quite a bit since 2011. So somehow you have to apply that across a variety of programs with different payment mechanisms, trigger mechanisms. So I honestly don't know. And I think it's yet again another one of these unfortunate kind of budget gimmicks that we keep falling back into as we fight over spending items, as we fight over, the outlays and programs. And these kind of what seem like quick fixes, I don't know, are very functional in the administration of programs and for agencies.
Well, and when they move these bills via omnibus, I mean, they are still moving, the individual appropriations bills, but in one gigantic package, as opposed to, 12 separate votes taking place on these items. How do you anticipate going the individual appropriations bill route, as opposed to the omnibus routes of recent memory, would ultimately impact the dollar figures that would go to in that USDA and FDA bill?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big frustration with omnibus bills is that you kind of have this leadership heavy undertaking, right? You're negotiating amongst the main leaders in the White House. And so members down the committee, the subcommittees that do all the legwork and the big management work around these bills can get shut out or can have their voices diminished. So it is ideal. And I don't think anybody disagrees with the, the importance of running regular order on appropriations, getting these out one by one, giving members of Congress a chance to dig into each one of these and have an opportunity to make amendments and seek changes, that's ideal. But I think we also have to be realistic that that ideal can't sacrifice basic function of government. We have to get these funding programs out. We have to get the government running or keep the government open and running. And so sacrificing that reality for the ideal is difficult. And some of it are the very people complaining about omnibus are the ones that complicate the process of regular order, like with amendments that have no real relevancy to the funding of an agency to be able to hit some political, talking point or get a social media hit out of it. Those sort of things are what's complicating regular order.
Randy, I want to wrap up the conversation with you because we look toward the government funding picture, and obviously we need to figure out how exactly Capitol Hill is going to approach this issue. But focusing on the House side of things, how do you expect Speaker McCarthy to try and thread that needle between, on one hand, funding the government and avoiding a shutdown, but on the other hand, doing so in a way that allows him to keep his job?
One of two things, in my judgment, is going to happen. Either Speaker McCarthy is going to have to cut some kind of a deal to keep the government funded for the next several weeks. And also remember, the Biden administration has submitted a $44 billion supplemental that includes more funding for the Ukraine and some disaster assistance for Hawaii. I'm assuming some for Florida and elsewhere. So keep your eye on that as well and marry the two together. I think one of two things is going to happen. He is going to have to agree to something with McConnell and Schumer to extend the government funding, and it may have the supplemental on it. And if that happens, there could be a call to question on the speakership. The other side of it is that he hangs tough with the Freedom Caucus, and then there's going to be a government shutdown. And those are two very difficult paths that he needs to analyze and his leadership team needs to analyze as we go forward.
Well, certainly no shortage of things to watch here in this very busy upcoming month of September. We'll keep an eye on things, as will Randy and Jonathan. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Hannah Pagel walks us through the global food insecurity picture in this week's Map It Out.
A new report from USDA's Economic Research Service says global food security is improving. This map shows the percentage of people who are food insecure in the 83 countries covered in this year's International Food Security Assessment. Figures show nearly 229 million fewer people will be food insecure this year compared to last year. According to the report, those numbers can be attributed to better per capita income in those countries, as well as falling commodity prices around the world. Despite the declines, the report also projects food insecurity will remain elevated in the short term because of the lingering effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. However, in the next 10 years, the situation is expected to improve. By 2033, those facing food insecurity in these countries is projected to account for just 7.9% of their population, well below the current 26.6%. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales. You're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Jackie Fatka and I will be taking part in a discussion Wednesday morning focusing on carbon markets and agriculture at the Bipartisan Policy Center in Washington. Then later that day, our Sarah Wyant will moderate a webinar with House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson and several other speakers on how new tools and technologies can add profitability and increase sustainability. And finally, the next Consumer Price Index will also be released on Wednesday. We'll keep you up to date with our coverage on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.